Some of his men kept their sense of humor. Even after Nashville, they composed a bitter new lyric to the tune of the Yellow Rose of Texas, and some of them sang it as they retreated through the winter weather southward. They sang, "So now I'm marching southward, my heart is full of woe. I'm going back to Georgia to see my Uncle Joe. You may talk about your Beauregard and sing of General Lee, but the gallant Hood of Texas played hell in Tennessee. Hood is gone, and so is much of the army he took command of back in July." All right, let's see what's been going on with Sherman now while Hood is playing out this drama in Tennessee. Let's look at Sherman's march to the sea. After his detachment of Thomas's troops, Sherman was left with 62,000 very tough veterans for the march he would undertake to the Atlantic. This is one of the more veteran armies of the entire war. Sherman kept his best troops. These are units that had been bloodied on field after field. The men who were going to get sick early on, they were gone. The men who were going to give up, most of them were gone. This was a very unusual army in terms of its esprit and in terms of its physical ruggedness. It's an army that is absolutely perfectly adapted for the kind of campaign that Sherman was going to undertake. He was going to march nearly 300 miles from Atlanta to Savannah. Between him and the ocean was nothing but a few thousand cavalry and a few Georgia militia. Grant's orders to Sherman were much like those he had given Sheridan in the Shenandoah Valley. Here's what Grant told his friend: "You will clean the country of railroad tracks and supplies. I would also move every wagon, horse, mule, hoof of stock, as well as the Negroes." In other words, Sherman is to leave nothing that can support the Confederate war effort as he strikes off into the interior of Georgia. Sherman was also to arm as many black men as possible and organize them for duty. That he did not do. As we've seen, he didn't believe that black men should be carrying muskets and fighting in the United States Army. He would use African Americans as laborers with his army. He always resisted using them as soldiers. And in fact, when the Grand Review in Washington, D.C. came after the war, when thousands and thousands of Union veterans marched in front of huge crowds, in Sherman's part of the march, he would not allow any United States colored troops to march carrying weapons. He would only allow black men carrying shovels and other implements of labor. Sherman said, as he prepared to go into the interior of Georgia, he said he intended to, quote, "move through Georgia, smashing things to the sea. I can make the march and make Georgia howl." The march would show the South, he said, how vulnerable they were and would hasten the end of the war from a morale as well as a logistical point of view. He added this psychological dimension to Grant's strategy of exhaustion. Show the Confederate people that Jefferson Davis and his government were absolutely powerless to stop Sherman from going wherever he wanted to go. To show the Confederate people that the United States military power was such that it could come into any part of the Confederacy. No one's neighborhood would be safe if the United States government decided to send an army there. Sherman believed that if he could demonstrate that to people, that their morale would crumble. And he was correct to a point, but what he didn't really understand is that sometimes this kind of operation has the opposite effect. Sometimes it bolsters the resolve among people who've suffered a lot. If you look in the Virginia theater, I think you have an example of how it worked the other way. The harsher the Federals were in Virginia, it seemed, the more resolute the people in Virginia became. And I think it had a lot to do with whether the population being terrorized, so to speak, had a major military force nearby, one of their major military forces nearby. If they didn't, then I think Sherman's tactics worked very well. But in Virginia, with the Army of Northern Virginia nearby, I don't think it worked very well. I think it would work in Georgia, as we'll see. So Sherman has this twist on Grant's approach with his strategy of exhaustion, Sherman adding this psychological element. On November 16th, Sherman's army left Atlanta. He'd ordered all the civilians out before he went, and he'd burned the place. Hood protested. Sherman answered, quote, "If the people raise a howl against my barbarity and cruelty, I will answer that war is war and not popularity seeking."